Warm welcome to all of you, especially to our new visitors this morning. And also, there's a few people visiting from our South African Shofar churches. Can I just see a hand? I heard there's a few of you guys. There's one, two, three, four. Welcome, guys. And then as I was standing there at the back, Danielle mustn't go because I want to speak about her now. I was standing there and I was looking at the biscuits and I thought if it's going to be sin, if the pastor would have taken one of them. So I don't know if it's their temptation, if it's like a trap or something. But while we're on that, I want to say a big thank you to Danielle, who's been really working hard the last time. You can see all the coffee and the biscuits and everything there, the coffee machine, the mother's room. She really did a lot of efforts. I just want to ask you guys to give her a hand and say thank you, Danielle. We appreciate you and we appreciate the coffee.
Thank you.
And then also just to clarify something else about that jam session, you know, that's where the musicians come together and they jam together. It's not where, that's why you'll not see me and my friend Francho Borchard there, because we'll probably jam the instruments. That's why you won't see us there. But it's really a place where all the musicians come together and just have fun and do what they do best. That's where I'll be, not there. Then I also, let me just see what's else on the list. Then I want you guys this morning, one of our mission teams, there's going to be three mission teams from South Africa coming to Namibia. One from Stellenbosch, one from Paul, and then one from Pretoria. The team from Stellenbosch in South Africa is already here. They passed on Friday morning. They're in Swakopmund right now, and they'll be there for the next 10 days or 2 weeks. They'll reach out to the community, serve in church, do a lot of things. Attend small groups. But you know, it's really one of those things when you step out and you go somewhere, you know, that's when the devil usually, I think there's a little small alarm going off. So he will always try to undo the good work. You know, they really sow into the community and really bless people. So I want to ask you this morning if we can all just stand quickly. I would like us to pray for them just quickly. If you're comfortable with the person standing next to you, you can pray together. If you don't know the person and you're not comfortable with that, you can just pray on your own. But I'm just going to give a minute or two that we can just from our side, thank you, Leanne, that we really can just trust God to just pray the blood of Jesus Christ over them and over the work they're going to do and all the logistics, the transport, where they're going. So anything you've got in your heart, you can just pray it out loud or if inside if you're comfortable with that. So I'm just going to give a minute or two. I just feel we should, from our church, as this church in Namibia, we receive them, and that we should also just pray for them quickly. Amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. I appreciate that. We will also, as a church receiver, there will be another mission team going to Swakopmund that will just quickly pass Windhoek, and then we will receive a mission team from Pretoria, guys from Gauteng. They will be here from the 25th of June till the 25th till the 9th of July. They will also, you know, they'll attend the youth services and go to the small groups of the youth, the other small groups, serve in the worship team. I think the mission leader, he will preach in the pulpit. So we're really looking forward to them. So in your quiet time, if it's on your heart, you can really pray for their preparation and all the things. You know, they have to travel a long way through Botswana to get here. So you can just pray for them as well. Okay. And then let's start for this morning. It's really awesome to have all of you guys here, especially the school kids. Guys, it's really wonderful. We really miss you when it's school holiday. It's really nice to have you back. And I trust that you'll really enjoy the sermon and the coffee outside this morning. But it's really special to have you guys here. Now, this morning, it was so amazing again. As we sang that last song, it was just so confirmation for me regarding the sermon of this morning. And I call the sermon, Do You See the Storm? And then what to do about it. So I want to start off this morning by, I want to ask you guys, have any one of you, have you ever felt in your life, as we sang almost in that song, that you've been in the storm, the waves have been huge, you thought this boat is going to go down and you didn't know whether to go left or right. Is there anyone in church that felt you were in a place like that? I can see a few honest people, a lot of hands going up. Okay. Now I want to ask a second question. Is there some of you guys that is currently, this morning or this past week, as we are sitting here, you felt things at work is tough with your family, your finances, your studies, whatever it might be. Is there any one of you guys that felt like that? There's more honest hands going up. Okay. Hey man, donkey. So I definitely know then that we're preaching to the right crowd this morning. Now, you know, guys, if we look at the media, the things going on, you guys at the outside, please come in. You're more than welcome. Let's give them a hand that they can really feel welcome. Okay. Now, if we look at the circumstances around us many times, you know, it's a soccer World Cup in South Africa. There's a lot of excitement. But unfortunately, on the tough or the bad side, you'll already see there's a lot of, from the media, the reporters from Europe or other places that has already been mugged. And we knew that was going to happen, unfortunately. There were guys that woke up with a robber standing next to them with a armed, you know, with a rifle besides them. That's not nice things happening. You know, there's a lot of uncertainty. I know if I read the South African newspapers quite often, you know, there's a lot of people that think doomsday, if we can put it that way, are coming after the Soccer World Cup, that things are really going to go down with the municipalities and strikes and crime and many things. If you read some of the Afrikaans newspapers, you'll even see Andrew, who's updated, you'll know about. There's even a group called the Suidlanders. They are preparing and stocking up food cans and stuff. They think it's going to be like the 1994 elections, that things are really going to go bad. Now, I don't know this morning what is going to happen, but what I do know is that even in Namibia, we go through tough times regarding crime and things as well. You know, just in the past week, Namibia had its biggest, I think the correct word is a transito robbery. Is that the correct word? Close to Omaruru, about $6.4 million Namibian dollars were robbed. There's a 500,000 reward if some of you have got any information. I really hope you don't. otherwise, I'm not doing a good job, I suppose. And then in same in Windhoek, there's $250,000 in 1 week. Another transito robbery that took place, $50,000 reward in Prosperity and a big... this is all stuff that's been in the newspapers. There's been a robbery, $1 million in cash that was robbed. There's also a reward for that. But that's the things that happen. Bad things happen all the time. There's storms around us all the time. And you guys would know, all of you who put up their hands, I know Henning and Marisa, they were at an island somewhere where the beaches are white and the mood is slow. Maybe things aren't bad there. But around us... Meaning, welcome back. You know, there's always storms. And I'm sure that if I was to give the mic to all of you that put up your hands just for a minute or two, that you would testify that most of us are going through storms. Now, from our side, sometimes we always think that our storm is bigger than the person next to us. We think that the waves are bigger. And there's always a lot of things that challenge us. Sometimes we go and do things... think things can't get any worse, and then they do. Sometimes we think that it's really a good place right now and things are just going hunky-dory, and then the next moment, one of those storms, they just struck us. Okay, so I want to read this morning to you from Matthew 8, verse 23 to 27. It's something that I believe God showed us in intercession this past week. But before we read that, just a bit of information on the book of Matthew. It's also called the Teacher's Gospel. It's really a nice book to use teachings out of. And in the early church, that was also the gospel that the church fathers used the most. Now, Matthew was a tax collector from Capernaum. Some of the Bible commentary says that these stories are a bit more dull than, say, for instance, a guy like Mark. But he was a very concise and precise guy. And we're going to read from that this morning. Matthew 8, verse 23. And when he got into the boat, his disciples followed him. And behold, there arose a great storm on the sea, so that the boat was being swamped by the waves. But he was fast asleep. And they went and woke him, saying, Save us, Lord, we are perishing. Now I'm sure that many of us feel like that, that we just want to say, Lord, I'm perishing, save me from whatever circumstances. And he said to them, Why are you afraid, O you of little faith? Then he rose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. And the men marveled, saying, What sort of man is this, that even the winds and the sea obey him? Now up to that place, Jesus has done many miracles regarding healing the sick, delivering people from demons. But this was the first miracle that he done concerning nature, you know. And here at the end, there's almost like a tip for us. The disciples said, What sort of a man is this that even the sea and the winds obey him? So they must have thought by himself, okay, we've seen him heal the sick. We've seen him drive out demons. Now he's calming the storm. So who is this? Now we know from our hearts it was Jesus Christ. It was God Almighty who could stir up a storm, and immediately God could obviously calm it. Now just for those who are interested, this picture is in the Sea of Galilee, and there's very steep mountains with narrow cliffs and things. So they say the wind does come very strong. It's almost like those of you who have been to False Bay in Cape Town, when the southeast is blowing, you'll see those clouds are almost boiling over the mountain, but it doesn't seem that they get to the other side. Now this must have been one of those situations where the winds and the sea were really rough out there. Now we can see from Jesus' answer to the disciples that they should have the core of this part, I believe, is that they actually should have realized that even though he was asleep, they would have been safe. Even though things were tough in the boat, being with Jesus was actually okay. Okay. And then if we go on, Jesus had already, okay, that I actually already said. But the chief lesson that we can also learn from this part is that Jesus was actually rebuking his disciples softly about having not enough of faith in him. You know, if Jesus was in that boat, and obviously we can see they didn't exactly know who he was, except for the miracles that he done. Now, if Jesus was a person, and we were all of us sitting with him, and we know everything that we know, we had the whole gospel, then I would think that we would actually be quite okay with looking at the seas and the winds blowing and everything, because we know we are sitting probably 1 or 2 or 5 meters from Jesus Christ. Now, is there any better place than that? That's the best place that we can actually be. Now, just something that, yeah, we should trust him completely. Now, something that I want to say to some of you guys this morning is, it's important that we learn that even though we go into a storm sometimes, that's not because of sin or disobedience. Yes, there's a place where if you keep on sinning, disobeying God, that you might get in a bad place. But that can actually be because of your own bad decisions or stubbornness or what you call it. But sometimes we receive a storm, you know. And me and Marius was talking about this beforehand. Now, the important thing is, that's not always God punishing us. You know, sometimes there will be a place that when we're in that storm, it's an awesome place to grow. It's a place to grow spiritually. Because many times, if I can put it this way, if you get something right in the kingdom, the reward is almost like a higher test, something more difficult. Because if we were always just cruising, no problems, no issues, just peace and prosperity, I suppose we wouldn't grow a lot. But it's through our testimonies and the tough times, the praying together, that we actually grow. And that's one of those important things that I believe that we can get from this. Now we can ask the question this morning, will Jesus always calm the storm? You know, because he rebuked them and said, you have little faith. But what if we look in Acts 27 about a guy like Peter, about Paul, when he was shipwrecked in the island of Malta. Now, I mean, he was a guy with great faith. No one can dispute that. He was one of those guys we can really look up to. But he was also shipwrecked. And I'm sure at his heart he must have thought, Lord, cold water, bad things happening. I don't want to go through this. But God strengthened him to go actually in a quiet way through that storm, through being shipwrecked. And remember, he was a prisoner. So at that time, it was actually the guards would actually want to kill the prisoners, because if they just, you know, got off the boat, swim away and escape, they would actually be liable with their own lives for those people. But God must have intervened there, and he said, you know, the centurion, the guy in charge, he actually backed Paul. And you see, then they got into the island and everything. But you know, sometimes, you know, God will save us from trouble. And other times, God will save us in trouble. Because if God always saved us before the trouble came, then we never would have gone through those tough places where we, in a sense, if I could put it that way, we had to walk through the water or on the water. So God strengthened him. Now there's another thing. I remember when I was about 10 years old, you know, my challenge was dealing with the death of my hamster, maybe. You know, when I was 20 years old, I had to deal with my studies and, you know, being at university like a jock over there and all the challenges that you have there. When I'm 30 years old, and that's about how old I am right now, young pastor, now I've got a wife, I've got 3 kids, there's so many other things. It's not only me or my hamster or my studies. I have to care for my family. There's so many other things that challenge us. Now it's definitely, you know, the challenges that I have now might look small in 10 years' time, because I'm sure and I trust that I would have grown spiritually. So, you know, at certain times in our lives, I mean, there was a time that just getting to a place of baptism, that was a huge challenge for me coming from a traditional background, you see. And I know that some of you fought those same battles. But now that's something small for me. It's something that happened 8 years ago. It's insignificant, but it's not an issue for me anymore. But as we grow spiritually, then things, you know, get into a perspective depending where we are. Okay, so I said sometimes God saves us from trouble and other times he will save us in trouble. Now for the important thing here was that the disciples should know that their saving power is in Jesus Christ. As we sang that song, and I quickly tried to write down the words, we sang there, as the oceans rise and the thunders roar, I will soar with you above the storm. You know? And that was, other than the musical guys, they choose the songs, I didn't know about what they choose, but it was for me so, almost like a picture about exactly what this is describing. And then it says, I will be still and know you are God. Because, and this is the heart at where I want to get at, for us as a church. I believe, and I feel that God is saying to us at this stage that we shouldn't pray against the storm. The storm will be there. We shouldn't try to get a storm away or anything. We should actually just get into the boat with Jesus Christ, you know, and focus on him. Because what do we do? Sometimes, and I'm sure most of you have been in conversations like this, we will sit and compare our storms with one another. And we will actually make the storm worse than it is. You know, we will tell the friend or the person next to you, tell, the wave was so big, you know, I think surfers. We don't have a lot of surfers in church. But you know, you will always say, I had this 10-foot wave or something. And then actually it was about 4.5 or something. But sometimes we will tell each other, but my circumstances are so tough. And the other person will say, but oh, I'm facing this thing, and this is so tough. Can some of you relate with that? You know, and then we actually make the storm bigger than it is. But I really believe that God is saying to us that we should rather look at him than trying to conquer the storm or to pray it away. Now, I'm not saying don't pray anything like that or stand against things like that, but I just feel at this stage, at this time, that this is what God is saying to us. You know, that we should actually get into the boat, look at Jesus, and just almost like small children, I'll get to that part, that we should just get close to him rather than worrying, you know, that we can actually get to a place, now I know this is challenging, but where we can be at peace, even though the storm is there. Why? Because God is in the boat with us. Okay. Then the other part I want to go through is, you know, there's really a place where the devil want us rather to focus on the storm and the size of the waves. Because if he can intimidate us about things in the natural, things happening in our lives, and get us to just look away a little bit, not even a lot, just a little bit away from God, then he can intimidate us. Then there can be a place where we open our hearts for fear. You know, and when that thing has happened, then the devil's got a foothold, and then he can start to really mess our lives around. I want to read to you from 2 Timothy 1 verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and of a sound mind. Now, you know, fear is not from God. We know that from Scripture. And fear can immobilize and torment its victims and make them feel powerless and alone. And if you get to that place and you're a bit rattled, if I can put it that way, then you can really get to a place where you start making bad decisions, or you get into bondage, or things like that. I don't want to go into the negative too much, but let's focus on that word, a sound mind. If we translate the Greek into English, it actually says safe thinking. Having a sound mind means safe thinking, and that's it's good judgment, ability to discern, and to make good judgments. Now guys, power, we've got the Holy Spirit with us. You know, Francois just testified, he said when he walked in, the Holy Spirit laid something in his heart. When we're in a storm, when we're facing difficulties, we don't have to look at the wall, look at the poster, or go to someone. You know, we can actually go to God. He wants us to come to him. You know, he's got that Father's heart. And then we can pray. We can pray with your friends, pray with your husband, with your family, whoever, and ask God for advice how to deal with this specific storm. Okay. And then obviously we've got the mind of Christ. We've got Jesus Christ in him, and he can really bring peace to us. Now here's a place where I feel I should just speak to some of you guys. Sometimes, and I remember there was at a stage in 2004, a stage in my life where I was a bit rattled, you know. I was studying, I was working. At that stage I just lost my girlfriend, if I could put it that way, which wasn't my wife, but that's a good thing that I lost her. But it was tough because I've got a great wife and 3 kids right now. But I was at a bad place, you know. The devil's, for certain reasons, I was under pressure and I was battling a bit. And in a sense, I was attending Shofar Stellenbosch, but I was in a small group in Shofar Tigerberg because I worked there. And I was actually not in any one of the two, in a sense. And, you know, there the devil saw, okay, now we're going to get him. You know, and I really battled. And sometimes at night, I really didn't have peace. I couldn't go to sleep like a baby. I actually don't understand that saying quite well, having small kids, but babies apparently do sleep well at certain stages. But, you know, and that's the place where the devil wants to get to us. You know, when you get to a place where he can see you're a bit rattled, and you think, this next wave is going to get to me. It's going to flush the boat. I'm going to drown. You know, where you feel maybe at work, you know, that picture of the boy standing and he's put his finger in the hole in the wall, and just as he's got that one hole, then another one come in, another one, and he tries, and you almost want to, all your hands and toes, you want to get into one of those holes in the wall because the water is coming through, and then you just can't make it. Or maybe, you know, those things in bad movies which you shouldn't look at, or like horrors or things like that, or maybe those bad dreams where you're running away from something, where you're trying to get away, and you running or crawling, and the thing is just coming after you, and you just can't make it. You know, that's the place, and then you go, as I said, into a bad place, making wrong decisions, and it's a downward path from there. But I just want us to get a little bit to that picture of really trying not to open that door, and that's almost for me the opposite of being in the boat of Jesus Christ, eyes focused on him. Then the storm is not going to rattle you. When we look at Romans 8, verse 15, it's a very well-known part. Let's read from there. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Now, that's a very important place. You know, sorry, I'm getting now mixed up here with something. Okay, that's really important that we didn't receive. God doesn't want us to get into a place of fear or bondage or anything like that. God wants us really to be able to focus on him. it's something that we should really understand, something that we should know. We are adopted by God our Father, and therefore we are His Son. Now that's such an important concept. You know, when God adopts us, it means we are His. We are not anyone else anymore. We don't belong to the world, that place of sin and death, that law of sin and death, it's broken. We are God's children. And you know, we've said it many times that we should know that. The other day in Bible school, and I really want to encourage you guys to come to Bible school, we did sonship, the module on sonship. And it's such an important place to know where we should live from, as children from the Most High God. That's really something important and special. And then I want to go on, I want to read to you as well from Matthew, the tax collector, Matthew 18, verse 1 to 5. At that time, the disciples came to Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And calling to him a child, he put in the midst of them and said, "Truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Whoever humbles himself like this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one such child in my name receives me." Now this is really important, you know. We live in a society where you always get rankings. In sport, there will be, you know, just looking for those, you know, there will always be, you know, a contest like a soccer World Cup, and you'll get the quarterfinals and the semifinals and the finals, and someone will be at top, and in every pool there will be a winner and someone who's second and someone who's last who's going home. In music, you'll get always on the television or the radio, you'll hear a top 10 or a top 20. You'll hear the 10 greatest hits of this or the best that. At school, you'll get say the top 20 kids in every grade, you know, concerning their results. We are used to a society where, you know, the guys that make it first and top, you know, they are the guys who get the reward in a sense. Now, the disciples were walking there, and when did they get, now Jesus must have discerned what's happening here. And, you know, then he asked him, "Now, what is this you're talking about?" Now, you can just imagine the 12 disciples walking there, and they must have said to each other, "But I think I'm the best, maybe, because I did this. Or maybe Jesus liked me the most, I'm the greatest, because of what I've done. Or maybe because what I've not done." You know, and they must have been talking to each other and discussing it and everything until they get to this place where they actually ask Jesus, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" and everything. Now, the important thing that the 12 disciples at this stage had to learn was to actually give that place away. You know, it's counting the cost of the kingdom in a sense, about ceasing to seek high places for themselves. Because God doesn't work like that. You know, it's not because of the things we've done. I think Jankor asked Pastor Jankor last week, he asked the question, you know, how to be a better Christian. You know, and then he talked about that. And that is it, that's not what it's about. It's about the hard thing. Now, what did Jesus do? He referred to the least important person in the Jewish culture, or the member of the Jewish culture, which was a kid. And he said, "Look at the kids." And that's the important thing regarding that passage. The way into the kingdom of heaven is by simple trust and the dependence of a child. The way to greatness in the kingdom is by way of the humility of a child. Now that's really important. It's something, and I'm going to connect it just now to the place in the boat. It's something that's so important because we live in a world where getting at the top, that's the best. Being in the top 5 of the top 10, or being number 1 of the top 10, or winning the game, or anything like that. That's the most important thing. Now, fortunately, there's people who knows things works a bit different. I remember we had a teacher at school who always encouraged us. He was one of our sport coaches, and he said to our team, "Then you play to win, obviously. But if you don't win, then you must still be able to enjoy it. Otherwise, we're losing something there." And that's something maybe I want to encourage some of you guys, especially you younger kids. You know, that you play to win, you study to give your best, but if the better other team win on that day, then it's still fine, you know. Then you must have walked away from the field after a soccer match or something and say, "But I still enjoyed it, you know. It was still worth it, and it was still, it was lekker geweest om deel te neem ook." So I just want to encourage you that you mustn't put something on yourself if you doesn't make it to the top in a sense of being a winner or anything like that. Okay. Now, connecting it to the first part is, you would know that I remember, I was reminded that my poor dad, I really thought a lot when I was preparing. I remember about 20 years ago, he built our holiday home in Pringle Bay in South Africa. And then one of our friends that also had a holiday home there, he phoned my dad on the Friday night, and almost like at the Sea of Galilee where the strong winds blow, that he phoned my dad, and it was the top level of the house. Now, here I'm going to get a bit mixed up with the language, maar die dakkapper, ek gaan maar Afrikaans sê, want dis soos ek het verstaan, was nie mooi vast gewees nie, and then the wind started blowing, and the whole structure started to making like this, and then eventually it fell down. Now, he phoned my dad, say a Friday night, 8 o'clock, and he said, "Friend, how are you?" And my dad said, "Fine." He said, "I've got bad news. Your house almost, you know, fall in, you know, something like that. Collapsed, thank you." And, you know, my dad, I knew he didn't sleep that night because he was thinking, what's the damage? What's happening? And I'm sure a lot of us had received calls like that saying a family member is sick, someone lost their job, something bad happened. A lot of us have received through the years things like that. And that's one of those things that cut really to your heart. Now, the point I want to make is I remember the next day we drove to our house, me and my dad, and I never saw my dad and the builder so bleak because someone was in trouble and my dad wasn't a very pleasant man. But the point I want to make, now all these windows, the bricks, everything was lying there. It was a mess. You know, I was about at that stage about 9 years old. And while they were sorting out the issues of the day, I had a great time playing between the bricks and collecting screws and pins and, you know, just playing and building something out of the mess. And I didn't thought it's that bad. You know, I could see my dad was really, what's the word now? Angry. He was really angry. But I was playing there and I just had a great time. You know, and sometimes in television, if when you look at things, you'll see at certain places there's been a flood or something. And it's bad, it's disaster. But then somewhere, you'll see small kids playing. They're just having fun. Or even if we have a drought in Namibia, or something like that happening, that doesn't mean that kids doesn't play at school during break time anymore. You know, they know it's bad, and all everyone knows crime is a challenge in South Africa, and yeah, in a sense and things. But that doesn't stop small kids, I'm talking about small kids now, you know, just going on and having fun. You know, and there's something here that I think that God wants us to get to as well concerning the boat and the storm thing. You know, because we get so psyched up and stressed up and everything, we can't sleep and we are really difficult when we go home and things, but not me or you can change the storm anyway. God decides which storm will go on, which storm will intensify, and which storm he will calm eventually. Now that's the thing I want to connect it with this morning. And you know, God fights for us. We're not on our own in this. You know, God is so much bigger. He's always the God that we can trust in. And you know, just for those that for you have been here that evening when Pastor Fred May was preaching, you know, just about that conveyor belt. Sometimes we're running up those stairs and really getting tired ourselves, while God's conveyor belt is actually there. You know, and you know, I believe that, as I said, God wants us at this stage, just for now currently, to rather be in the boat, focus on Him, than on the storm. And then we should have that heart of a little child that we would actually be, even though the bricks are lying there and the winds are blowing, that we can actually, in the storm, we can get to a place of peace. You know, as I said, that as that small kids are playing outside amidst of all the bad things happening in the world. And I believe that's something that God is really saying to us. And I, as I saw that a lot of you raised your hands and saying, I'm in some sort of storm currently, you know, whether it's making a decision about your career. I know there's a few of you that's really having tough times at work, just being that you feel you can't get ahead, there's too much work. Some of you might think that it's about where are you going in your life. There's always things like that. And I want to say to you this morning that God is saying to us that we should focus our eyes on Him. Don't make the waves bigger than they are. You know, rather be positive in a sense and tell your friend, I know there's big waves, I know there's challenges, but God is in control. You know, and if you can go with that compared to that place of humility in Christ, you know, when you can go to bed with that heart where you think that, I know there's storms, I know finances are tough, but God, I'm going to sleep now. I'm going to have that mind of Christ. You know, when I have to make a decision, I'm gonna make it from a peace of rest, not from fear and being wet by the water in the boat and things like that. And that's the important thing that I want to share with you this morning. Now, I want the worship team, Leanne, please, if you guys can come up this morning. Now, I really believe that God is, you know, the faithful God that He is. I really believe that God wants to really minister to us this morning. We're going to sing a bit more, but can I ask you guys to please stand with me this morning? And while we are standing, I just want to ask you guys to please close your eyes, just to be really, to look into your heart, and now to really, I believe that God would have been, and the Holy Spirit would have been speaking to many of you during this sermon. Not what I'm saying, but because what God will be stirring in your heart. And as the worship team are going to start, I really want you to respond on this, if you feel it's for you this morning. Now, if you feel this morning that you are just staring at the size of the waves, if you know that storm is there, and you're just staring at those waves, and you think that it's just too big for you, you don't know how you're going to get out of this, you don't know whether the boat is going down, you're really having fear and anxiety in your life. If you feel like that small boy standing there with all your fingers in the wall, and there isn't one toe, one finger left to close another gap in the wall where the water is coming from. If you feel this morning that you are almost like paralyzed with fear, that you are at such a place where you don't know what is going to happen next. If there's anyone here this morning, I want you to raise one of your left hand. Say, if there's anyone here this morning that feel that you're at a place like that. And then, secondly, I want to ask, while all eyes are closed this morning, if these are some of you guys, and you know, because of this storm, let's say, outside, where it might be, you would know in your own life what it is. I want to ask you, if you battle with that thing of a sound mind, making good decisions, if you feel that there's turmoil in your heart, and you just, you know, you just can't go to bed at night, feeling at ease or at peace or anything, you know, when you feel that things are too much for you, you can't go almost with that place of, you know, to where you sleep like a baby, where you are at ease. If there's some of you guys who battle with that, can you also raise your hand, please? Thank you. And then for the third group, I want to ask this morning, for no matter, the reason doesn't actually matter. But if there's any reason, and I mean, you're standing here this morning, and you know for some reason you are not in the boat with Jesus Christ. You know there's Jesus, you know there's the boat, and something must have happened. Something happened in the past months or weeks or days in your heart, in your relationship between you and Jesus Christ, and you know you should be in that boat with Jesus, but you're not. You know, while all eyes are closed, if there's any one of you and you know you should get back into that boat, I want you also to raise your hand this morning. Thank you, guys. And then lastly and most importantly, you know, if there's any one of you guys and you don't know Jesus Christ, you know, and God as your Father, as your Savior, as you haven't got to a place where you was born again, you know, where your life has changed and you know that you have got a testimony, you know, there's an old person and a new person. If there's anyone in the church this morning and you feel you've got this overwhelming emotion in you this morning that you just want to get to Jesus, you just want to give your heart to Him. If there's anyone like that, I also want you to just raise your hand quickly while all eyes are closed. Okay, thank you. Now I want to ask you guys, as the worship team are playing, you can open your eyes now. I'm going to ask Francois and Dr. Panganai and Henning and you guys, the Selfless Small Group Facilitators and Zone Coaches, I want to ask you guys to please come and stand in the front. Paul, you guys, can you please come and stand at the front? And then I want to ask you guys, all of you who have responded this morning, whether you've raised your hand for one of those three or four groups, I want to ask you to come to the front. We really want to pray with you this morning. We are going to worship. We're going to look at Jesus Christ. Not me or any one of these people standing here this morning can do anything. But God can. He can change us. So I really want to invite you, as we are going to start to worship the first song now, that you please come to the front. As I said, if you feel you don't have that place of a sound mind, if you feel that you're not in the boat and you should get into the boat, or the first group, if you feel that those waves are just too big, you don't know how to handle it, and you feel just in fear, I really want to ask you, as we start to worship now, that you guys will come to the front. We really would like to pray to you, with you this morning, and trust that God will really do something in our hearts this morning. Amen.
Just as Pastor Carl spoke, God showed me a mother hen, and when the storm was brewing, the hen, she just picked up her wings, and all the chicks ran to her wings and the safety of her wings, and God said to me, He said, there's people in this church here that are so confused and so paralyzed with fear that they see the opportunity to run, but they do not run. And God said, for whatever reason you do not run, it's not a sign of weakness to run to the protection of the mother's wing. It's a sign of wisdom. And God is really, whether you've put up your hand or not, this is just something between you and God. God knows exactly what is in your heart. And He has a desperate need to comfort you today. So whether you've put up your hand or not, the opportunity is still there. If you feel, God, I didn't respond just now, that doesn't really matter. We are in front. And what God is saying is, take this opportunity. And even if there are things that you've done that you feel very, very ashamed of, God said, that's not a problem. Because He never destined us to be perfect. All that God wants you to know is that He dearly loves you and that He will not turn His back on you. So take this opportunity. If there's anything that you're worried about, come forward and we pray for it. It is for free, but it might just be life-changing to you. All right.